Good morning. Well, we have observed a lot about how the pandemic has affected and continues to affect our lives. I appreciate very much Charlie's emphasis just now on how our record of giving has remained amazingly constant and consistent, and that is, again, in keeping with the nature of the congregation, and we're very, very grateful. One of the things, though, that I was most impressed with when we were first sent home back in mid-March from campus and told to stay home for a while before even getting out to do anything, all of our services were online, I found out very quickly how, if you're home all the time, how much easier it is to eat and to eat and to eat. And to substantiate that, here is someone's revised monthly budget, okay? A revision to their family monthly budget. Gas, zero. Entertainment, zero. Clothes, zero. Groceries, $2,799. And then there's one other encouragement. Wearing a mask inside your home is now highly recommended, not just out in public. Inside your home is highly recommended, not so much to stop COVID-19, but to stop eating. Well, the design of the lesson today is not designed to ruin your plans for lunch or for any occasion, for that matter. Roy and I have been preaching each for a little more than 50 years. And yet, neither of us have ever spoken on this particular topic. In classes at school, it will come up, but we've never preached on it before. We also have never preached on gluttony, so that is something that we've got to work on as well. But this is a topic that is in line with our deeper studies that we have through the church schedule, planned by our elders from the fall of last year. And so today and this evening at 5, we're always going to be looking at the topic at that hour at why fast. Today we're looking at what is, as well as a couple of other things that hopefully will prepare the way for Roy's presentation this afternoon. When Jesus gave this particular statement in the heart of the Sermon on the Mount, when you fast, he was not commanding something. He was obviously giving approval of a practice, but he was really referring to the third of three parts of Jewish life that were very important in terms of their worship, in terms of their spiritual life and development. But as he addresses these three topics, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 6, the giving of gifts like we have given this morning, the giving of our contribution. He says, the hypocrites are those who make a show of what they give. And if that's what you do, if that's your motivation so that people will brag on you about how generous you are, about how much you give, even to the Lord, then forget it. Because the Lord, who sees in secret, is going to reward those who give in secret, and he will reward generously and openly. But the person who wants credit for what he is doing, well, that's what he'll get. He'll get the attention of people, but not of God. That was the first one. And then a little bit longer passage that includes the Lord's Prayer. The second thing they did was pray. Sometimes, boy, they would pray. I mean, they had a regular schedule of prayers, and they would pray long prayers, and they would repeat things over and over again in their prayers. They had prayers for every occasion you could imagine. But on certain days, they would appear on street corners. These he's referring to as hypocrites, actors playing a role. That's what the word means. Those who were hypocrites that we normally associate with Pharisaism, they would get in positions where they would be seen at certain hours of the day and then break into prayer. And people would say, oh, how spiritual. And the Lord said, no, they're not. They're not spiritual at all. They're trying to draw attention to themselves rather than attention to God. And if that's what you want, that's what you'll get. But you will not get the approval of God. Then he comes to the third one. The Jews were a fasting people. a giving people, a praying people, and a fasting people. The only time in the Bible, in the Old Testament in particular, that there is actually a command for a fast is in Leviticus 16 and Leviticus 23. In both of those passages, there is the outline or the statute, as Moses records what the Lord says, forever a statute from this time forward, one day out of the year, what we know as Yom Kippur on the calendar, the Jewish calendar, late September, early October, the Day of Atonement, there would be a sacrifice made for the entire nation of Israel, and their sins would be covered. They would be atoned for. Yom means day, and Kippur means atone. They would be atoned for that year. So that is the only time that they were commanded to fast. They would fast 24 hours, maybe in some cases even closer to 25 to be safe, but 24 hours going without food, going without drink. That's what fast means. You pick a time, you yourself, you pick a time, regardless of whether it be hours or days, but you pick a time where you abstain from eating and drinking, or if it's a prolonged fast, of course, there would have to be at least water available to sustain our bodies. But the idea behind it is a spiritual thing. It is not, biblically speaking, it is not a thing that is a part of dieting necessarily, although there's great benefit there. It is not a thing that is a spiritual discipline in the sense that, well, it is a spiritual discipline. We'll get back to that. It is not the kind of thing that you fast because you're about to have surgery or some test or something like that. That's not what it is. It is a conscious decision to be pleasing to the Lord and spend time with the Lord. Now, there were three reasons why the Jews in the Old Testament spent time fasting. Number one, this Day of Atonement was all about their sinfulness. And you can make the application for us. You know, really, when we think about going back to Calvary, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, you know, we're thinking about our sins responsible for the Lord being there, right? And we're conscious of that, and we're meditating upon that as we partake of the bread and the fruit of the vine. The body of the Lord, the blood of the Lord. But on this Day of Atonement, there was to be a sacrifice made again for the sins of the people. That could only be offered by the high priest. That would be Aaron in the beginning. And only in the Holy of Holies of the tabernacle. He was the only one to go in and meet the presence of God, make a sacrifice, and the sins of the people were covered at that time. So, the people, what were they supposed to be doing outside the tabernacle? Fasting. Now, if you were to go to a Jewish synagogue today, there would be public services available on Yom Kippur that would include a series of at least five periods of prayer. There may be various other things that they would have as a part of that service. Most folks probably stay at home who recognize this holy day, if you want to call it that, for those folks. But sin very much was one reason to spend time not drawing attention to yourself, but rather being penitent and pleading with God for forgiveness, as we have an ongoing need to do. Then there were examples of fasting in the Old Testament of sorrow. It breaks my heart and yours too to read in 2 Samuel 12, really the tragedy of 2 Samuel 11, David with Bathsheba, and then Nathan coming to the king to say, you're the guy responsible for all these horrible things. And he says, God has sent me to tell you that your sins are going to be forgiven, but your baby is going to die. And even with that information, David would fall to the floor of his palace. He would pray continually, and he fasted for 7 days. The servants were worried about him, worried about his health, worried about his strength, but he refused to eat or drink as long as that baby was struggling for life. Some of you have been there. you know exactly how that feels, what that's like, and how that you are so conscious of that situation rather than of the need for your tummy to be filled during all of that. And so, great sorrow. When that baby died, after those 7 days, David got up, he washed himself, he ate, he drank, and he explained the fact that he was now eating because I cannot bring the boy back to me, but I can go to him. One of the great statements in all of Scripture. And so there was a matter of sorrow. Earlier in his life, when he was not fully king yet, although he had been anointed to succeed Saul, when he received word about the death of Saul and Jonathan and Jonathan's two brothers by the Philistines, David and all of his army of men fasted in great sorrow. As far as David was concerned, I'm sure there were quite a few tears in connection with that as well. Third reason they fasted was because of a spiritual discipline, what we call a spiritual exercise, or something that we would do to enhance our spiritual growth. We talk sometimes about getting alone with God and no one else. You know, finding our place, like when the Lord said, when you pray, go to your inner room. You know, your most private place, and pour your heart out to God. Nobody is going to be seeing you there, and nobody is going to be saying things like, oh, how wonderful, how spiritual. No. It's about you and your relationship with God. That's what it's about. So when you fast, then you fast as a spiritual exercise. In Jewish tradition, long after Moses and Aaron and the Ten Commandments and all of that, various traditions came up in the Jewish religion, and they developed the practice of fasting twice a week. By the time the Lord teaches in Luke 18, you remember the self-righteous Pharisee, Lord, I fast twice every week. Well, the days that they fasted were Mondays and Thursdays because those were market days, and there was a greater crowd in town on those days, and they would wear long faces and stained clothes and bad hair days on purpose, you know, so that people would say, oh, look how sad they look how sorrowful they are, they're fasting, how spiritual. And the Lord says, no, they're not. However, the idea behind spiritual discipline exercise, like what are some others? Well, our prayer life is a spiritual discipline. Our daily Bible reading program is a spiritual discipline. Our attendance and involvement in Bible classes, our attendance at all worship services that we can possibly attend, all of those are spiritual. Our giving, both to the Lord as well as to good works through the congregation, all of those things are spiritual disciplines. Fasting can very well be one of them. Okay, very quickly, we've got to go fast here. When to fast, we already talked about it as an exercise in spiritual growth. I'm talking about for you and for me. The other referred to how the Jews did things. Whenever we're looking for the Lord's will on a certain topic, that might involve additional Bible study. It might involve additional prayer. I'm telling you, those of us who even try to preach, there are a lot of times we have to stop and pray, Lord, help me understand the meaning of this passage and how it applies to your people today. I mean, that is very much a need, and fasting can be a part of that. In fact, a lot of times when you find the word fasting, especially in the New Testament, in the context of prayer and fasting, Old Testament too. When we face a powerful temptation, when there is a serious illness of a loved one, we really do not have an appetite. And let me tell you, one of the greatest things this church does is to provide meals for family members that are going through hard times. And there will be some that will be able to benefit from that more, and others perhaps a little bit later, because right now their urgent attention is placed upon their loved one. And we are grateful for all of you involved in that. Acts 14 talks about there was fasting when Paul and Barnabas selected elders for every congregation on the first missionary tour in sending out missionaries. I don't know, that this is widely practiced in our congregations throughout the Brotherhood, but in Acts 13, before the Antioch elders sent out Paul and Barnabas on that missionary journey, what did they do? They prayed and they fasted. Doesn't tell us how long. It's not saying that to say what a spiritual bunch of people they were. It's just recording the fact of this spiritual exercise. And then how? The Lord gives us some things not to do. If we are to fast, it's not to be known by other people. It's like your own private personal prayer. You don't pray to people. You pray in behalf of people. You pray always, publicly and privately. You pray to the Father. And so when you fast, should you choose to, and it is an option whether we do or not, not to be seen or known by others, not to be discussed, or a topic about which that we would boast. Well, I fasted about that last week. There's no need of saying anything about that. Now, there can be a group of saints who are working together on perhaps a campaign or working in anticipation of a new school year where we are invited as a group, to fast in anticipation of this project. But still, that is a matter of individual choice. It's not a mandate. There's not a command. There's an example, yes, but it's not a command. That we hear very little about fasting after the book of Acts, except for a couple of mentions by Paul in the Corinthian letters about how not only had he gone without this, this, and this, but he talked about days that he had spent in hunger. That is to be distinguished from the hunger and thirst that he's already mentioned. He was referring to fasting. And in that shipwreck on the way to Rome, there was a 14-day necessary fast because they were trying to save their lives. So after 2 weeks, they went back to eating and trying to gain strength. So not a command, not a religious requirement, very important. That statement is important because there are those who would say that fasting is just as much a necessity for our salvation as being baptized into Christ. No. The New Testament does not teach that nor imply it. A matter of personal choice by the Lord's people. With all humility and sincerity, come on. We're the creatures, not the Creator. And sometimes we need to fall to our knees in prayer. We need to fall to our faces in prayer. And sometimes we need to spend some hours just thinking about our relationship with God, with confession of sin and with penitence from those sins. And then when God grants that forgiveness that He promises, we're filled with gratitude. Let's not ask God for something like forgiveness and then forget to go back and thank God for His forgiveness. I'm guilty of that. Are you? Really good about asking for things. Really bad about thinking about going back and saying, I never did thank the Lord for that. Fasting gives us an opportunity to do that. Here's a verse that comes from John's account of Jesus feeding the 5,000. We know that there were more than 5,000. Because it's 5,000 men, besides women and children, because there was a little guy who provided the lunch that day, 5 loaves and 2 fish. So there were children in the audience too. So besides children and women, 5,000 men. And the Lord knew as He looked out at all of those people, some of whom wanted Him to become a military king and take on the Roman Empire. They were ready to fight. They were ready to march. Lord knew that they were not following him for the right reason. He also knew that there were some, because he had just fed them, who were going to follow him for the next meal. There were others that were going to follow him for the next miracle. So he makes this statement. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. Right there in the heart of that great story is a principle that reminds us we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, Matthew 4 and verse 4. You know, there were three 40-day fasts recorded in Scripture. Moses, when he went up to Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. Elijah, when he was on the run from wicked Jezebel. And then the Lord and his preparation to meet Satan head on. You think about that. The Lord fasted and prayed 40 days in preparation for a face-to-face meeting with Satan. Those are examples for us. Those are encouragements for us to consider and to think about. And the reason that we've not addressed them before is they're not commands, but they're spiritual disciplines that we need to focus on more, that we need, if we choose to try. The modern day fast for the Jewish people, as well as even those in biblical times, was, besides the Day of Atonement, 24 hours, a 12-hour period of time, sunrise to sunset, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And this afternoon at 5, Roy is going to be addressing the question of why, which is going to focus on the benefits to us, not the benefits of those folks, but the benefits to us. And I want you to really look forward to that lesson and be tuning into our stream, because that's the application that we're making from this background information. During the weeks of the pandemic, as we come to the time to extend the Lord's invitation, and this is another example of the Lord's invitation, we have the custom of, if anyone needs to respond for whatever reason to become a Christian or to renew your life and dedication as a Christian, to leave the auditorium and be met by elders in our commons area. And they'll meet with you and respond to your needs. They are the shepherds of our souls, and they are eager to assist you in whatever way. But if that is your need today, please come as we stand and as we sing.